Hello and welcome to Are You Connected number 51. I'm Lois Smethurst and with me as always is my podcasting buddy Jenny. Hello Jenny, how are you?
Hello Lois, how are you? I'm fine. Apart from being cold.
Today's the 28th of June, nearly the end of the financial year and nearly the end of the term, isn't it?
Yes, and it's past the shortest day of the year.
It is past. They're getting longer now. You can tell, can't you?
Oh, yes.
Not getting any warmer. I think this is going to be the longest winter we've had for such a long time because we've already had a term of it and we've still got another term to go.
Yeah, it seems like that, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Anyway, that's the weather report over with, as usual. So, Jenny, we've just finished with the IWB Net conference in Adelaide. Yes.
Yeah, we had a great time in Adelaide, didn't we?
We did. That was the Masters conference when we people spend a number of time in sessions trying to develop some skills.
Yep, the same cohort of people for four sessions?
It was four sessions.
Yeah, for four sessions, so they keep coming back four times and we built on what they learnt and more skills and more skills. And we were all about voices, weren't we, and using our voices.
We were, and all the apps that you can use in schools to help kids verbalise their learning, visualise and verbalise their learning with some great apps on either using their computers or their iPads. And we sort of wanted to follow where our cohort wanted to lead us, didn't we? So we left a lot of it up to them. And just tried to take the path that they were most interested in.
Yes, and we actually didn't get to go any other sessions except for the keynotes, did we, Lois?
No, it was a bit exhausting, wasn't it? It's very demanding doing that sort of work, but it's not that you're not getting to learn anything yourself because you learn such a lot from just running the session.
You do. Yeah. Yes, you learn lots. And there's always somebody in a session that teaches you something you didn't know.
Yeah. I agree.
But we did get to go to Greg Gebhardt's session,
two good keynotes, didn't we? And Greg Gebhardt was particularly good, as he always is.
Yes.
And he talked, Jenny, you can summarise some of the things that he told us about, perhaps.
Well, luckily for Greg, the Horizon Report had just been released.
Mm-hmm.
So he could tell us lots of things from that. And one of the things he said that was very interesting to us, seeing we'd just been doing our voices presentation, was that oral skills are going to be more important than ever searching. And he was giving an example how he searches in Google all the time and just uses his voice now.
Yes.
With things like Siri that are, you know, the next rollout of iOS is going to give Siri even more power. And Siri has been learning lots of things.
Yeah.
More voice commands.
We agree with that, don't we? I mean, I think being articulate and able to verbalise as one of your first modes of operation is going to be more and more important, and that's part of the reason why we focus on this presentation.
Yes.
You know, I think too that we teach, you know, if you start recording with students who are a little bit older, if you start doing a lot of voice work with students who are older, they always think they have to write down what they're going to say, and I think that's because we've taught them that. I actually think we've trained them to do that, whereas they should be saying things in order to write them down. It should be really the other way around. So they should be able to verbalise first. But we actually teach them the wrong way around in a lot of ways.
We do. They have to write something down and then read it out or something.
Yeah, and it's just that's not real thinking. I don't know. I that's just one of my theories that's going around in my head at the moment. And I think it's teacher's fault. I think it's our fault.
And he also had a couple of good apps for us.
He did.
Auto Dance and Lego Movie.
And didn't they go through the conference like a virus? Everyone had them on their iPads using them in no time.
They did, didn't they?
They did.
And, of course, talked about game-based learning as being something that's going to become a bigger force in the classroom.
Well, it already is quite a force, isn't it?
And personalised learning environments. Not the same as all of these people are going to do the same, so that's personalised, but actually the learning environment being personalised by the learners.
Well, isn't that the power of our technology? Isn't that why we want to use it? Because it empowers us to do that. It lets children follow what they're really interested in and learn it for themselves.
Yeah. And even down to the ownership of tools that you're using and being able to personalise them to how you like them.
Mm-hmm.
rather than it being standardised. And this is what you get. This is the image it's got, and everyone's got exactly the same. And it's all about everything being personalised.
It boils down to the person having the tool themselves, doesn't it? It's not about those being shared devices. They really need to be owned devices. And that sort of led on to his next idea of that it won't be one-to-one soon. It'll be one it'll be one student to many devices.
Yes, one student to many devices. And we're finding that at school already. And when I look in our Prep 1 area, you know, the kids there, they use iPods, they use iPads, they use laptops, and they use desktops.
And so they're very lucky.
So they're all rotating around.
See, you're very lucky to have
all the different types of devices.
Yeah. Well, we're nowhere near that yet, but we use multiple devices, but we share them.
So they're really, one too many.
And then you had that great movie of the 9-month-old baby just sitting there using the iPhone.
Yes, the 9-month-old. Was it an iPad?
It was an iPhone, wasn't it?
I forget which one it was, but I haven't seen a baby that young using it before.
But it wasn't just haphazardly using it, was it? That baby knew what it was looking for.
Yeah, and, had to go in a folder.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine. And it went in wrong folders and went out and went back in another folder and eventually found the app.
It did. And it knew what it was looking for. That was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah. And he also talked about augmented reality.
Yes.
Being something that will be used more and more. And, augmented reality can be quite exciting.
Well, I've seen it used briefly with it's sort of more of a trick, though, with when they bring in your dinosaur into your classroom or you have things floating around. But he was talking about a more significant use of it, wasn't he?
Yes. So that will be interesting to see how that gets taken up.
Yeah, now, Jen, too, another conference coming up very soon. Here I was thinking our holidays are about to start, but our first 2 days of our real holidays will be spent at Slide to Learn.
Yes, Slide to Learn's on next week on Monday and Tuesday, and we'll have about 200 people there.
And you've been very busy getting organised.
2 days, yes. I've organised myself into a frenzy over it. So
you'll need a holiday after it to have a rest.
Lucky it is a holiday after it, yes, but it's all looking good. The food's all looking yummy, so there'll be lovely food.
Oh, that's good.
And the school there at Albert Park, it's a beautiful school. It's going to be so nice to see. The hashtag, that's it, for the conference is just our usual Slide to Learn.
Okay, not hashtag. Slide to Learn 12 or anything like that?
No, we decided just to use the usual Slide to Learn hashtag.
I think that'll be pretty hot on that Monday and Tuesday then, Jenny.
Yes, so hopefully lots of people will be tweeting, and the people who were unfortunate not to be able to come can follow the tweets.
I'm pretty excited because I've got a graduate teacher from my school who's coming, and I said, our first two holidays will be at a conference. He says, oh, no, he said, I'm really looking forward to it. And I thought, so am I. It'll be terrific, and he's going to make a holiday out of it in a way, so that's fantastic.
Well, there are people coming from all around Australia, actually, and a lot of them are building it into their holiday.
Yeah. So his concern is that he won't know enough. And I said...
He won't know enough.
Yes, I said, there's people at all different levels. And I said, that's what the conference is about.
That's what the conference is all about. Yes, there are from beginners to people who have learnt a lot. And there's also the Genius Bar there.
From the Apple store.
The Apple people are putting on the Genius Bar for us. So if you've got any questions, you think them up and take them along and ask them all day long. That'll be great.
That'll be terrific. You'd love to stump the Genius Bar. I hope you're thinking of a good question for them.
A good question to stump them, yes.
You like to do that. That's part of one of your challenges, isn't it, Jen?
It is. One of my challenges at the Apple Store is to think of a question that will stump them.
All right. Well, so let's get on to what's been happening in our classrooms in this last couple of weeks of term. So what have you been doing, Jenny? I know you've been the acting principal because your principal's away in England.
Over in the UK, seeing lots of very interesting things. Been able to see a lot of other schools that she had organised with her tour, so that's been very interesting. And just the fact that they go out for playtime every day in all weather.
What, rain, hail, snow or sleet?
Yes.
Do they have undercover areas?
They don't call it, a bad weather, wet day program. They say inappropriate clothing or appropriate clothing, and you have to wear the appropriate clothing.
Okay.
And the kids go out with their gumboots, their puddle suits, their umbrellas, and they go out in the rain.
Oh, cool. Well, our kids would love that. They would love to be able to go out in the rain, wouldn't they?
I don't think most of our kids wouldn't have the right clothing.
Well, if they were told they had to, if it became expected, then they would. I mean, when my kids were toddlers, they all had puddle suits. We lived on a farm. They lived in puddle suits and gumboots.
That's right. So anyway, that was different. But at school, we've been creating avatars in good old Kid Pics, and we're going to use those for different things on the computers.
Yep.
We've had kids wanting to get into the ocean, and I can't keep them out of there.
Okay.
They see me coming, and are we going to go on the alternate?
They love it, don't they?
Amazing, actually. Yeah.
Actually, didn't you do something rather clever with the avatars, apart from Kid Pics? You were using Photo Booth or something.
Yes, we used Photo Booth because I had the preps sitting there looking at themselves in Photo Booth.
Yes.
And we did a lot of talk about faces and different parts of the faces, and they looked in at Photo Booth and saw themselves and looked at their eyes, their colours, and then they went into Kid Pics and started drawing their faces.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
And so yeah, and some of the pictures were just absolutely wonderful and looked just like the students.
Oh, I'd love to see some of those.
They're incredible, aren't they?
Are you going to use those on your VoiceThread for your identities?
Yes, we're going to use those for our identities on our VoiceThread. So that will be good, won't it?
Yes. I've had a little bit of time with two or three teams this week for planning day. So I share with another teacher and I get a couple of hours to go in and work on an ICT topic with the teachers. So with the preps who had already started their blogs and got their blogs off the ground, they did VoiceThread. And today I was so pleased because one of the prep teachers, they'd had a dress-up day where the kids came as community members. That's what they'd been studying. They're all dressed up. So before the end of the day, she'd had their photos on and them talking about what they'd come as, what they were dressed as, in a VoiceThread on her blog. So I was tickled pink about that. I thought that was
fantastic. So she would have had them rotating around the one computer logged into VoiceThread?
I think she had time in the computer lab, so the kids would have been doing something in the computer lab. She probably got them all logged on and had them doing something, and then she would pull them up to the computer.
Rotate.
Yeah, the front of the desk with the microphone on, and she had the kids come up and record what they wanted to say on her one computer. So it looks fantastic. Well, it's very pleasant. That's
right. Yeah, it's such a great program, VoiceThread. The more I look at it, the more I like it.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's very useful, and I think what the teachers will like about it is that they get sick of just blogging their pictures. They say, what else can we do? We don't want our pictures just to be put on in a gallery or just to be put on. Can we make them more interesting? And this is a very easy way to post their pictures.
Yes.
With the commentary or without it, I guess. But and the embedding code makes it so easy for them to put it on their blog.
Yes. And when we were in Adelaide, we used the VoiceThread app, didn't we?
We did. Just
bring on the iPad.
And
we went around and used that to allow the participants to put their VoiceThreads on the VoiceThread.
Yeah.
So that was interesting because I used it a little bit but not a real lot, so forcing yourself to use something really makes you investigate it more and find out how it goes.
Well, that brings me to something else I want to talk about because I agree with you completely, and the more you stick with something, the more you learn about it. And I've found that I've been using the EduCreations app, which I've talked about. It was the free screencasting app. And at first I thought, oh, it's very, very simple. You know, it's almost too simple. It's not enough. Or if you make a mess of your recording, you have to start again. And I was, but the more you use it, the more I find it is the simplicity is actually its greatest asset. Because the kids would draw their images. They were drawing a water cycle. They were doing the water cycle one.
Yeah.
It's a simple activity. We did it in a session on a planning day. And then they would record what they wanted to say. And if they made a mess of the recording, we found it was so simple either to just screen capture all their images and pop them straight back in, it only took a few minutes, or if they'd used photos for their math stories, their photos just sat in the gallery. So when they started again, it took like a minute to put them back in. And it was fantastic. So the kids who had made mistakes could start again quite quickly and still recreate the whole thing. But my point is, we've got to that stage now because we've used it over and over again. If you just use an app once, you don't really understand what it's capable of.
No.
You've really got to stick with it.
Yeah, and have you been using the display record app?
I haven't yet, no. I have.
Because that records everything on your iPad.
Well,
so yeah, you were using Reflection to put students Toontastics or something on Reflection.
I use that display record app. Well, the point is, I put it on my computer, but I find Reflections is brilliant because while you're sharing the kids' work at the end of the session, mm-hmm. so that everyone can see it, then I record it at that stage and it goes as a film onto my computer. So all mm-hmm. the kids are seeing it while I'm recording it. It's not actually doubling up or anything.
Yeah.
And I've been using that for Toontastic, as I said, with the storyboarding. I've had the kids use Toontastic as a storyboarding app. So we're making movies for the 60-second science competition. So they had to put their movie, make the scenes of their movie in Toontastic so they could visualise what's going to happen in each stage of their movie. And so that worked. Now, we were quite pleased with some of those. But then I've also used the Lego Super Movie Maker, which was one of the apps that Greg talked about.
So
I used that. This week, in our planning week, I took in all my little box of tricks, which I've got full of little theme things, like they're called tubes, like tubes of space shapes, astronauts, and tubes of undersea, and tubes of something else, dinosaurs. So I hand out the tubes, and they made their little super Lego super movie.
Mm.
And then we showed those at the end, and you can capture those. But the thing with that is that it doesn't have sound at all.
Oh, okay.
So there'd have to be another step there where we could introduce how they could narrate their story over it.
Yeah, put some sound on it,
yeah. But I'm working on that, I think, because it does save very easily into the photo gallery as a movie. So I'm sure we could pull it into a second app, one of our workflows, to put the narration over it.
Yeah. And, Lois, now there's actually a podcasting app available from Apple.
I've seen that tweeted around a bit. Have you downloaded
it? Yeah, you go, iTunes, the podcasts aren't there.
Really?
Yeah.
So you have to get, well, how do you find them? You search in that podcasting app.
In the podcasting app, yes, you can search in the podcasting app.
And creates an RSS or something?
No, you search in the podcast app and the apps come up and then you just subscribe to them.
Oh, yeah.
So, that was interesting.
Hmm.
Apparently the volume purchasing plan's going to be coming out soon.
It's still soon.
maybe I'm thinking with iOS 6 it might be released. You never know.
So will that be in October? Is that with the new phone, do you think?
I wonder. I was thinking iOS 6 might be sooner than that.
Okay.
I was thinking iOS 6 might be in August perhaps.
So would that be another big upgrade on our computers and our iPads?
Yes, that would be another very big update of the iPads and the phones.
Oh,
some really nice features, though, like Siri's been learning how to open apps.
Really?
Yeah, so Siri, you'll be able to say, and Siri will actually be on the iPad as well.
Yes.
You'll be able to say, open Toontastic.
So Siri will end up being on everything, won't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you think? Don't you think Siri will be part of everything soon?
Yeah, and 3D maps. So your maps 3D, which is very nice.
Yeah.
And in PhotoStream, you know how your photos go to PhotoStream at the moment and MobileMe's closing and everything? And
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So in PhotoStream, you're going to be able to share your photos, which is what we needed because we couldn't share them from PhotoStream.
Oh, okay.
So that will be good. Just select the photos you want to share. And then they will automatically show up in the person you want to share's iPhoto.
Right. Well, that's it. So it'll be like sharing your disk online like you were doing before, except it'll be a stream.
Yes, a stream, yeah. And also there's a new app called a new Passbook app. And the Passbook app actually allows you to store a whole lot of store cards and tickets. You know, when you buy tickets to go to shows and movies and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's stored all in the app.
Yeah.
And then the app has a GPS thing running as well and it knows when you walk into the right store and it just brings up that card on top.
Oh, right.
And then it just gets scanned. So
this is like the augmented reality that Greg was talking about.
Yeah, so if you went into the airport, it would know you were there and it would pull up your ticket for the airport.
Oh, wouldn't that be better?
And it'd be ready just to scan it, and they'll just scan the barcode will show.
Yeah.
And certain airlines have already got themselves set up for this passport app. You know, and you walk into Myer perhaps and it'll just know you're in there and your Myer card will come up to the top.
So that's a bit like the Layer app, isn't it? We had Greg Gephardt at our school doing the cyber safety talks to the parents from the ACME, Australian Communications and Media.
Yeah.
What's the last bit? I forget the last word. And he was talking about Layer and how when he, because he travels so much. You know, the day he was in Adelaide with us, I think you were there when he said he had been in Melbourne and Adelaide for the last 4 days.
Presenting he comes back and forward every day.
Yes, I know. Well, he goes all over Australia so often. So what he does is he pulls up his iPhone and he goes and he holds it up across the street, and he's probably looking for somewhere to eat. So he holds it up and it looks at the restaurant and it tells him all about the restaurant there and then, you know, the menu, the prices, the rating. Yeah. And so he works out where he's going to eat according to the Layer app and things like that.
Have you got Layer on us?
I've had it, you know, and I could never get it to work to do anything. And I thought, that's a useless app, and I took it off. I might be putting it back on. I think I may have put it on too early. There wasn't much in Warrigal for it to look at.
And because things have to be hooked up to it too. Well,
I think that was the trouble, because I was in Warrigal. There was nothing much in Warrigal for it to look at or find. I thought, oh, this is a useless thing, and I took it off. Never mind. Mm. I can put it back on. Mm. Can I tell you the last thing we've done this week that I'm very excited about is that we've had our new website launch. You had your app launch, but we had a new website launch.
Mm.
And so Daryl Branson's done that for us as part of his new little business. And I'm just excited because it doesn't have new content so much, but it is just...
It's reorganized, isn't it?
Well, more than that, really. It resizes according to whatever size device you're looking at. So if it's a mobile device, the whole thing resizes and fits on. It has a stream to all our blogs, so we've got an RSS feed to all the school blogs. So whenever anyone posts, it goes straight to the top of that page. It does all sorts of nice little things, and it's just so much easier to use. And I think it'll be, because it's easier to use, it'll be more accessible, and I'm hoping it'll be a much more useful website overall. I'm just very excited. And that's going to lead on to our app, I hope.
Mm.
And that's our exciting news for now, I think, Jen.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I had a look at your website and it's very nice, but very clean and easy to look around on.
Yeah, yeah, we went for that. Yeah. It's a nice clean look, isn't it?
Yeah, not too cluttered and things, so that's great. Well,
it's amazing how fresh eyes can make something and someone with a bit of talent and skill.
And we do need to make our websites so they are friendly for on mobile devices.
We do, absolutely.
Because that was one of the other findings from the Horizon report, that the computers of the future are going to be in your pocket.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing about that was it's super friendly for anything mobile, so you can go from, you know, a computer to your iPad to your iPhone.
Well, Lois, I think that just about ties this one up, because we had to make this short because we're busy and off to the conference, so just wanted to get this done quickly and end of the term, end of reports, all sorts of things been happening.
And there's lots to do between now and the conference.
There is. So there are presentations to
presentations make sure to prepare.
Yes.
So thanks, Jen, and thanks to all our listeners. And we'll talk to you after the conference, after the next conference, after Slide to Learn.
Yes. Bye for now.
Bye for now. Well, Jen, congratulations on a really successful Slide to Learn conference. You and your team did a brilliant job again.
Thanks, Lois. It was a lot of work, I can assure you that.
Well, I was thinking about that. I was watching all the things that happened and I could see the stressed look on some faces and I'm thinking, well, how do you organise a conference? I mean, what sort of things do you have to do and how long does it take you?
Well, it takes us a while. You know, we really need to start planning at least 8-10 months before the event.
Yeah.
It's good. Because we're all in different states, we can't all just, you know, tomorrow afternoon we'll meet up.
But that wouldn't be just it either, would it? I mean, you've got, you had, how many keynotes did you have? 2, 4, 6, 8?
Keynotes. We had 6 keynotes.
6 keynotes. So that's a lot of work just getting keynotes organised and finding people who are as interesting as what you had.
Yeah, and it's, I guess it's lucky that all the team members in Slide to Learn have a pretty global personal learning network.
Yeah.
So we can pull from our learning networks, and being in different states, we may have access to different people and things like that.
You had a huge range. You had we had the principal of the school tell us about the journey of the school, which was interesting and set the context. Yes. And then Ivo from – now, does Ivo actually come from the Northern Territory?
I'm not sure, but I think you can actually pronounce his name Ivo, Ivo Burham.
Ivo Burham.
Yes.
He was fascinating.
Yes, the mobile journalism was wonderful.
Which really struck a note with me, because that's the sort of thing I'm hoping to move into with our new next year to extend our radio studios. Yep.
It showed just how valuable those little iPod touches can be.
Oh, yes.
And at such a cheap price of $200 each, those little iPods are wonderful little computers.
Yeah, I think he was using iPhones as well, wasn't he? But you wouldn't want to hand your iPhones over to your students.
No, but, I mean, you can do the same thing with the iPods.
Yes, and he had a lovely little setup with that. But, I mean, but the point is you had such a range of presenters. You had Ivo, you, and you had Sam Glicksman.
From Australia, but he lives in LA, and he has the great iPads in Education, Ning.
That's right, Fraser Spears.
He was from Scotland.
Yes, he was. I loved his work too.
Yes, with the Seed Experience.
Yeah, Tony, of course.
Tony Vincent.
Yep.
Person.
And then Lisa Johnson.
Yeah.
And Lisa Johnson, you explain who Lisa is because you've met her personally, haven't you?
Yes, Lisa Johnson is a very passionate iDevice person who loves sharing information. You know, she has her free apps in her Tech Chef for You app, where she revises and reviews lots of apps. Then she has her Hot Apps for Hots, higher order thinking skills iBook that she's created, co-created. So, you know, she was really interesting and always bubbly and full of energy, and it was like 10 o'clock at night.
So you had such a range of presenters from so many different places, and not all of them were there in person, of course. So those people who didn't come to Slide to Learn, some of your presenters presented over Skype.
Yes, which is very nerve-wracking.
It is a bit tense, isn't it?
Because you're hoping things are going to run well, and you know, some of them did and some of them dropped out a bit, but it wasn't actually the Skype that was a problem. It was more the software that was being used on the other end with some screen sharing.
Oh, yeah, screen sharing is difficult, isn't it?
So that can sometimes, but we managed, we got through.
You did, and it was worth, it was the little breaks. I mean, people forgive little breaks because the content was so good.
Yeah, so that was good, and it gave a bit of a global feel, I think, as well, didn't it?
Yes, so how long have you had those keynotes booked up for? So you'd have to get those in place fairly quickly, I imagine, so you would want them to know that they were the keynotes that were coming.
Yeah, so we had to organise things very early because all of these people are very busy.
Of course.
And, you know, they've got schedules. Tony only just fitted in between ISTE, and then next week he's on a summer camp.
Oh, is he?
So we were very lucky to get him, and I know I organised with him really early in the piece, and he penciled it in. He said he had these other dates. So it was just really lucky that fitted in.
And so then you get to be the chauffeur and run to the airport and pick everybody up and organise the accommodation and everything like that as well.
Yes, the venue, the catering, the accommodation, the tech support, the everything. Now maybe I should become a
conference organiser.
Yeah, I don't think so somehow.
You have a very good team that work with you though.
It is great. The team is terrific, and when anything needs to be done, you can put it out to the team and someone will take it on and do it. Yeah. It was really great to have that backup. So you weren't by yourself organising it. It really was a team effort.
So there's Dion from Tasmania.
Yeah, Dion in Tasmania. Kate up in Cairns. Jonathan in Brisbane.
Yeah.
Jenny over in Western Australia, in Perth.
Yeah.
Louise Duncan in Shepparton. And Megan Yammer in Melbourne.
Yeah, so... So you're missing a couple of states there.
Yes, we're missing.
And do you have and Rod, is he a
and yeah, Rod Heiss, of course, who's our honorary member.
Yeah.
And hasn't missed a Slide to Learn conference yet.
No.
and turned up and worked tirelessly for us for this conference, actually.
Oh, he's fabulous, isn't he? Does such great work for us.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and I went to his presentation as well, and I'm just blown away by his knowledge and what he understands about things and how thorough he is with everything he does.
Yeah, that configurator that he was talking about, it's very interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah, so Rod Heisted.
You know, I was thinking about configurator and the volume purchasing plan, which is around the corner, getting closer.
Yes.
Because I think they've opened it up for developers to enrol in that, so that means it's getting closer.
It is a step forward. It's a step closer to what we were talking about just not long ago.
Yes, I think, though, it does create another problem for me, though, because if I want to use configurator, I would have to buy volume purchasing plans for each app.
Yeah.
Now I think, well, I've already bought multiple copies of many apps.
But that's okay, according to Rod.
So what will happen to those?
It will check that you have bought them.
Will it?
I think so.
For all the different accounts?
Oh, I'm not sure. No, I'm not sure, Jen. Maybe it will. What was the thing that worried me was that, you know how you get a free app that's free for a short time and you download it? When you go to update your iPads, it goes and checks the price of all the apps. And so if it's not free at the time, it means you can't put it back on your iPads.
Mm.
So it will check for the current price to see if you have a current license. So
there's still a few little tricks, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a few little glitches in there still.
Yeah. In an ideal world, you have your iPad student or parent managed.
Yes, yes. And look, and talking of that, it's interesting the feel of this conference to the feel of last year's conference.
Yes.
You know, because last year I felt like, and you don't know until you've done the second one, but if you look back on it, I feel like we were all year sevens last year. You know, we were pretending we knew what we were talking about and we're all there being really cool and we had our iPads. But this year, you know, we're the cocky year eights. We know what's going on. And we know that mobile learning is here to stay in our classrooms. And the confidence was just, and the air, you know, the feel of the whole conference was different this year in terms of mobile learning. Yes,
it wasn't should we, it was how will we.
There was no thought of should we. There was no, that wasn't even a question, was it? It was
no.
It was assumed we're all doing this. This is what's going to happen. And so now, and then people were looking for different things this year.
Yes.
They didn't want a list of apps this year. You know, they didn't want to know what are all the good apps to use. They wanted to know how best to use apps and how to manage their devices. You know, how can we manage this in our classrooms? You could see people really concentrating in Rod's session on configurator on, you know, how can that help me? And
Yeah. Well, I know with my workflows presentation, you know, I don't really sit there and look at app after app after app, and it's more the workflows and getting the idea of workflows with apps going.
Yeah. And I actually did a workflow on the end of my session too, and it was a very it was just a slide. I sort of felt I'd covered it mostly, so I just put it up at the end to pull it together. And I took it off quite quickly, but they asked me to put it back on because I think that's what other people wanted too. You're right. They wanted workflows. They wanted management tools. They wanted to know about reflections and how reflections helps you screencast your apps in your classroom so you can capture them.
Yeah.
They wanted to be more in control, and I think that's what it was about, rather than have the app dictate to you that you will save it here or you will save it there. They wanted to know how they could be in control of these things.
Yeah, and how their students can be in control.
Yeah, and how their students. I didn't mean them as teachers. I mean in... So, and there are only 5 iPads borrowed, Jen.
Yeah, only 5 iPads. We Apple actually loaned a lot of iPads, but there are only 5 borrowed over the 2 days.
That would be different from last year.
Very different from last year, which means everyone now has their own, basically.
A lot of people do, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people have more than one now.
Yes, some people have more than that one now, don't they?
Yes, and one lucky person won one and took it home. That was lucky.
Yeah, there were two iPads were given away, so they were 2 lucky people.
I told you my ticket was purple. Now, and there's still resources being added to the Ning and the Google Docs spreadsheet all the time.
Yes, there are still resources from lots of different sessions.
And there's a Ustream session there by Katie Wardrobe.
Yeah, it's a great music one. So if you want to have a bit of a dabble into music.
Yes, I've got that bookmark to follow that through because I'd really like to learn more about how music works on GarageBand because I'm so unmusical.
You did?
Yes. But so we will put all the links to the things, the resources from Slide to Learn at the end of this podcast so that people who weren't able to attend can at least look up things and feel like they may have been there.
Yeah, and it was great to have Tony and Daryl there, our podcasting buddies.
Yeah. Oh, they did a great job, didn't they, covering a lot of the background and interviewing people. So they've got a terrific podcast out already.
Yeah, they're quicker. They've got it up before even home from Slide to Learn almost.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how they did that. Anyway, this will be up soon. So, Jen, thank you very much for you and your team for all the great work and such a great conference.
No, no worries. We love doing it. It's a bit of our passion, so that always helps when you've got a big job to do. And we've already started planning next year.
That was going to be my next question.
Mm.
So there will be a Slide to Learn in 2013.
There will be a Slide to Learn. The planning has begun.
Is there a secret location?
Hasn't been confirmed at this stage.
Uh-huh.
So I probably won't tell you what it is until it's actually...
Well, after this cold Melbourne one... I said after this very cold Melbourne one...
it was cold, wasn't it?
It was cold. Anyway. But we were inside. It was cosy inside. It was fine.
Yes, and I still enjoyed the ocean view.
Oh, it was beautiful, wasn't it? Yeah. Mm. Okay, Jen, well, thank you very much for everything and thank you to our listeners for the before and after session of Slide to Learn.
Yeah, bye for now.
Bye for now.